First of all, for IOGCC, it's an Oklahoma.gov website.
Yes.
Is that, how does that work? Is it a, but it's not an Oklahoma.
The thing is, we're a quasi regulatory agency. We were created by an Oklahoma governor, and we are based on an Oklahoma governor's mansion property. We were created by seven states, as you probably knew, including like Kansas.
There's three, but.
Well, it's technically seven. It's Kansas, Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma. Can't remember the others. But since it was an Oklahoma governor who founded us, we remain in Oklahoma and utilize.
What governor is
that? E.W. Marland.
L-O-N-D?
M-A-R-L-A-N-D. So we utilize what we can from the Oklahoma resources from their state, but it's we still pay for what we use, if that makes sense. The Oklahoma Finance is in charge of their websites, in charge of creating the domains and everything, so when I needed the domain, I call them, they create it, and it comes out of our account to pay. What's just like any other state agency would pay the OMES for a domain.
Is there any interaction really with the, besides what we see here? I mean,
we have as much interaction with the Oklahoma Corporation Commission and Oklahoma Secretary of Energy and Environment as much as we do any other state.
So is that just a historical thing, why it's basically historical reasons why it's Oklahoma?
Yes. It's just because that's where it was founded and where we've stayed.
Which gets to my next question. How would you describe what I've written down?
You're fine.
How would you describe what IOGCC is? Or how it, I mean, I was here, so
how
I have a
operates.
Pretty good idea of it. Yeah. From your perspective.
IOGCC. Operates based upon what its 30 member and 8 associate member states want. If there is an issue, we will bring states together.
When you say state, is it like the
state regulatory agencies? That's who we work with. We work with all the oil and gas state agencies and the 38 oil and gas producing states.
Would that be environmental regulating agencies or
mainly oil and gas, and it's production. Depending like Michigan is under the Department of Environmental Quality, and that's how, you know, Texas is Railroad Commission, mm-hmm. Oklahoma's Corporation Commission, we have oil and gas boards for Mississippi and Alabama, so whatever they place their oil and gas is who we work through first.
So whoever does the permitting for oil and gas.
Yeah, usually. Okay. Yes. So we work with them. If there's an issue, we usually bring them together. That way, we try to help no one have to go through the same process another state went through, you know, to be more effective and efficient and to continue regulatory improvement. And that's what we're all about, is to continue that regulatory improvement and the processes. You know, as technology changes, the states aren't as financially equipped to stay on top of it as industry is. And so we provide a even quicker avenue for them to stay on top of those things. So when one state encounters something, another state can quickly catch up.
So would you describe it mostly as a network?
Yes.
Is it like primarily?
Primarily a network. Educational. We put together reports, we put together guidelines for states, more on a regulatory basis, where API would put together, you know, guidelines for industry. IOGCC would put together the guidelines for the state regulatory agencies as a baseline, because every state is different and unique. Their geology, geography, climate, everything. And that's why we, you know, greatly advocate that states stay and keep their regulation with oil and gas, but there's a baseline, and they can kind of manipulate and change their regulations to fit whatever is best for them.
Hypothetically, what if there's a state within mm-hmm. the network, mm-hmm. I mean, probably within an oil and gas producing state where the state is not, well, there's one here, so New York.
Okay.
It's not as friendly to oil and gas production. How does that state fit within, how does that state interact
we
with?
Try to offer assistance, education, information, and that's all we can do. And it's really based upon the governors. Of course, some states participate more than others. If the governor wants the information, Cuomo, whether he has participated every single day since he's been in office or just all of a sudden needs help, we're going to be there because he is a member state.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be there for Bradfield and whoever is incoming as he retires. It doesn't matter. He is a member state. And even if they're not member states, I have other states that call, you know, Vermont, Maryland, states that don't have any oil and gas production, but there has been some talk. They'll call us and, you know, we'll help them through it because they are a state, and there's no reason for anybody to tackle challenges alone.
Would you describe it as the central repository or one of the central ones?
Yes.
For the states?
Yes, I agree.
Is it the only one?
Are
there other organizations like IOGCC for the states?
No,
or?
I don't think there is another organization like
mission.
The IOGCC. There are some that have their own unique niches, if you will, say Stronger. They have their own.
Yeah.
They pull in NGOs, academia, which we do work with NGOs and academia, but... They would be more of an advisory group than the actual work group, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Stronger is all of them, and sometimes it doesn't really focus on what the regulatory body needs. So that's what IOGCC does provide.
So IOGCC, is it, sorry, one more question, just kind of like this. Is it a trade association,
no.
or is it?
We
so
are
not
never,
a trade.
We are not a trade association.
Is it
association.
A trade association for regulators? Sort of. In a weird way. I guess it's just a term, but.
I guess, you know, some people could see it like that, but we don't consider ourselves a trade association. We see ourselves as a quasi-government agency because the states, the government, states pay their dues into this government agency.
So is it something? Is that something that comes out of state budgets?
Yes.
Okay. It's like some small portion of a state
it's,
budget.
It deals upon their production, their oil and gas production. We get a very small percentage of whatever that state's oil and gas production is.
So every state would pay a different amount. In
yes.
Depending on
exactly. Yeah. We don't expect North Dakota, who has the Bakken, to or Nevada. Who has three wells right now to pay the same as the Bakken, who is, you know, over 1 million barrels. So it's a different structure just because, you know, Nevada definitely needed help last year in creating their hydraulic fracturing, all their policies and regulations, but they didn't need it to the extent of the Bakken, and why would they pay the same as the Bakken? So
how did that part get written, or like, is that in the bylaws of IOGCC where the different states pay that?
We have a structure. We have a structure in our bylaws that states what, how the percentage. I couldn't explain that one to you. I'm not
but
good at numbers.
Yeah, is that like in the foundational documents? Is that something that's kind of?
It's
evolved?
Actually, it was just restructured
okay. Last
year. Before then, it was still based on production, but it was. Now we have a tier system that people are, it's a little easier to calculate.
Was that something like a committee, like one of these committees
yes.
that meets decided?
Yeah, our finance committee worked on it for 2 years.
Was there disagreement at all? Or
No, it was just, why don't we do this? Our regulators hardly ever disagree. I wouldn't say they never disagree, but it's more like challenging each other. A lot of our regulators, this is where they come because they can talk freely. They know the person across the table understands what they're going through and can offer advice and help. And so that's why they come here.
Would you say there's competition or like a contention between at the state level? I mean, because I'll ask you about the state versus the federal thing, but at the state level,
our states don't compete. I wouldn't say our state regulators compete.
No, how about between them, the ones like who come here versus their own like environmental regulators? Like, I mean, I know the Ohio EPA was here, but say is there?
Is it depends on that's a state by state basis. California has a wonderful relationship with their BLM office, their DEQ office, and all of their counties. And I know that because we were just in Long Beach, and every single one of them sounded like they talked on the phone every single day. Others, they have a harder time communicating because there's just not that liaison to do it sometimes, and it's harder to find where they meet. So
they're turf wars sometimes, kind of?
Yeah, because sometimes, I wouldn't say turf wars, it's just that it's not always clear in the statutory language whose actual dominion it is, I guess.
So I want to ask a question about, so yesterday there was the model resolutions section, session. In terms of like at large, so when I was in there, it didn't seem like model resolutions was a huge thing of huge importance for IOGCC. It seems like it's something that the organization does or produces, but it's not like the heart and soul of what the organization does. How important are those?
Resolutions are very important because, like,
those resolutions are those only. Are they sort of always that structure? Are there sometimes model laws or bills too? It seems like this time it was just all kind of. It seems like it was like recommendations for.
Those usually start, is the process to get us somewhere else that we need to go.
Okay. Kind of get the train.
The CO2 resolution. It's the train going, so because North Dakota right now is the only state that has Class 6 primacy. And so it's the train to get everyone else on board and figure out how they did it and to urge Congress and or EPA to turn over primacy and delegate authority to the states.
Is it always that, though? Because it seems like yesterday there's a lot of we as IOGCC or we as the states think the federal government should do X. Is it always that?
It's not always that.
It's just kind of the theme these days.
Yeah. Okay. Right now, public outreach is revisiting a 2005 resolution about energy programs. And so we as IOGCC will help the states create energy programs like the OERB and Ohio Oil and Gas Energy Education Program. Hmm. So, I mean, each one is different. And
is Ohio the only state that has that kind of thing?
No. Ohio is actually a derivative of OERB from Oklahoma. Mm. And Rhonda Rita will tell you herself, that's where she learned everything, that's who she pulled everything, and that's who she is tailoring UGIP after.
Okay. So those are like the only two states?
No.
States have versions of that.
There's a lot of states that have different versions. Not every state, but there are a lot more states that have different versions.
So those bills or resolutions, are there ever bills like ones that, like, multiple states would?
No, that's where we create initiatives. Like right now we have the States First Initiative, which you probably heard a lot about.
I heard about it, but I don't know. I'm quite
12 governors that signed it,
mm-hmm.
Signed the initiative. So we have been, urging Congress to make sure that state regulation is the only thing over oil and gas and keep it there. And that's also our initiative to create the state programs like the UIC program, updating Frac Focus, the induced seismicity work group. We have a state oil and gas regulatory exchange group now. And we're creating more and more programs and projects under the State's First Initiative.
Are there, but that's not bills, right? That's not like model legislation. That's,
well,
those
it,
are like.
Well, it's kind of like, okay, so the public land primacy resolution.
Yeah, like yesterday.
That so was, Lynn Helms is taking that resolution to Senator Hoeven. And Senator Hoeven will look at it. And it's kind of us urging Congress, and we will write the bill probably, or work with his staff to write a bill for him to introduce.
Okay.
And we've.
But that's different. That's not. That's kind of. It wouldn't be so much as there's a bill that IOGC that gets hammered out at an IOGCC meeting where, like, Texas, Oklahoma.
No. We don't make each other's bills.
Okay.
That's, no. No, we'll give them drafts. Sometimes like say
information sharing kind of stuff, but
say Tim Baker from Oklahoma will send it to Nick Tu in Alabama, and Nick Tu will look at their bill or look at their new policies and regulations that he's about to send in for a proposal. He'll look at them and say, you need to change this, this, and this.
Okay.
And that's as much as it, because it's, we do more peer-to-peer reviews,
but not, well, you're better with American Legislative Exchange.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's not like.
No.
So these resolutions, like yesterday, that would be like the most
probably
concrete.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So in terms of, so from like an industry perspective, you're IOGCC, but like
right.
why does the industry
attend?
Come, yeah, why would they come here? Why?
To hear what's going to hit them next. You know, like, I'll take the induced seismicity. No one knows how or what's coming in policy and regulation. I mean, how are we going to shut down? How are we going to plug? How are we going to monitor? What are those regulations going to look like? And they like to give input because they are the guys that are on the ground. They are the ones operating. And we do like their input because they're the ones experiencing it. And if something isn't going to work, we got to figure out how and what's going to work, both for the regulatory and the industry to keep going, or if they should keep going on, you know, a fault, they're probably going to get shut down. So, yeah, the industry comes and they learn what's going on in each state, and it's very valuable, and any industry person will tell you, you won't find that anywhere else at any other meeting.
How much input do they have over the...
Good show.
Thank you, Roger.
Thanks, Carol.
I'll email you pictures. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, do you need extra copies of the CO2 pub? Do you want me to send you some?
That would be wonderful.
Okay. I'll mail them to you, ship them out to you as soon as I get back.
Wonderful. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'll see you later.
Come see me up city sometime.
Yeah, I'm down the street.
I
Come
know.
On.
That's too far.
How much of, in terms of the procedural stuff, how much, because like yesterday it wasn't like the industry was like standing up, and there, I mean, if there was anyone in the industry in the room.
They usually like don't they give could, their input.
They don't?
They like, usually don't. It, like Roger Kelly is Director of State Regulatory Affairs. He's right-hand man on State Regulatory Affairs for Harold Hammond Continental Resources.
Okay.
If he needs something. Or
Are they in Oklahoma for
yes.
a headquarters?
Okay. Well.
Because I know they're famous for the Bakken, but.
The headquarters is in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
They operate in the Bakken. I mean, they operate other
places,
but their
famous.
Majority
yeah.
is continental or
yeah.
in Bakken. So, and he called me a few months ago, and things were going on in the Bakken, and he didn't understand. And so he calls me to kind of figure out what's going on. And, you know, I can usually get him in touch with Lynn, or I can ask Lynn. At North Dakota, the head regulator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can you kind of help me out, figure out what's going on, and so Continental can figure out what these regulations mean to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they'll call me for that, or they'll say, "Hey, what do you think if we did this on Frac Focus?" You know, I don't know how much you know about Frac Focus or disclosure.
Decent.
Okay.
No,
well,
I don't know much about like whatever you're saying about that there might be a frac focus too. I don't know that much about.
Okay.
I know
well,
about the original frac focus.
Well, and I'm sure you've heard that people are, you know, the public or whoever is screaming for more proprietary chemicals to be disclosed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Baker Hughes has now set the bar, mm-hmm. and they are disclosing everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that. I was on the Baker Hughes was on a panel. Guy was on a panel.
Yeah.
That was
it. So
that came up.
That impacts all of the industry, and now we got to figure out how all of the industry can follow without disclosing their proprietary chemicals where they can be figured out. Because mm-hmm. Baker Hughes has done it to where they are disclosing everything, but you can't reformulate it to create their same proprietary chemicals.
Or else it would be a violation of their patent or trademark.
Federal law.
Yeah.
So... And a lot of people don't understand that they are protected under federal law, just like a Coke or a Pepsi. But like Coke and Pepsi, they list things, but they don't have to list it in the exact formula that they put it together.
Just overall,
yes.
At large.
And, you know, they already do that in an MSDS, mm-hmm. and now their oil and gas has to go a step further than any other industry. So
that's what Fact Focus 2 will be, is
Fact
more.
Focus 3.
3.
Yes.
Wait, there's, oh, okay.
We just did two.
So it was
one was PDF. Two, we took it a little bit further for Peg would know this word, but it's different on the back end. You would never be able to see it on the front end, but there is a lot more manipulation that can be done than what initially started for Frat Focus. So, and now we are, you know, heading into a third phase, and you know, we, because the initial thought was, okay, let's see what's in the neighbor's backyard, and then people are like, well, I want to do this, and so we're doing a little bit more and a little bit more, because you know, you're just starting something, you can't expect it to be great big old, you know, everything you want and need. It's just like an iPhone or a Leap Pad or whatnot. We're going to get better and we're going to grow. Just got to be patient, and we got to see what everybody's needs are within the budget.
Let's see here. Oh, so this is a good question. This is my question about going back to the budget stuff. Is it entirely state, so like the state's paying, or is there a private sector?
No, we don't accept anything private sector. The only thing that private sector helps out with is our meetings.
Okay.
And so they are allowed to sponsor our meetings, and that's the only thing that they can do. They don't pay for the speakers. It's really to pay for conference rooms and pay for receptions and food and things of that nature, so we can hold a meeting and everybody can come together. But otherwise, we do not accept a dime, not even for any of our programs or our reports or anything we put out.
Why is that? Why?
Because we are a government agency.
Okay. Well, so how come alternatively? Why are they allowed to?
It's in the bylaws. I couldn't tell you why or how. The meetings are separate from what our actual organization does. This is just something to inform the public, which is part of our mission, but it's separate than any fact or report or publication or work group that we would be doing.
Does the industry see, well, first of all, how important, in terms of your overall mission, these meetings, are they compared to, okay, we'll compare.
They're important to our state regulators, and it's important to us to stay on top of the issues. Sometimes these are the only time that our state regulators get to come together and hear what other states are doing. Kind of like the Indu-Seismicity. That's why you saw so many of my voting members stay in there rather than come vote at business session, because they need to know about Indu-Seismicity because they know it's coming their way.
Mm-hmm. So, in terms of how important is the industry see these meetings?
Some of the industry very much. I mean, we have the same people, and we have people from majors to small independents, service companies that find it very helpful, very important.
Are they?
Excuse me, let's just go to High Street.
High Street is
this way. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Go out, make a right at the first street.
Great.
Or left.
Appreciate it.
Yep. It's the only street I know in Columbus.
I haven't been outside the hotel except last night, yeah. So I don't know where I'm going.
I went on a run up and down High Street. was I saying? The
how important is it for industry to come to these meetings?
Right.
It's just as important as state regulators, because like I said, there's no other meeting like our meeting. It's very unique, and you won't ever see the state regulators all together like this ever again.
And how about in terms of, this is kind of a tricky one, because you guys are you're a
quasi-government
agency. Mm-hmm. So you're not quite a government agency.
We're a compact.
You're compact, right? So that's...
We're the oldest compact. That's many states.
Okay. See, the oldest compact, there's many states mm-hmm. that came together to write that compact and sign on to it. How come they do not... Or do they? Do they have to register to lobby if they're talking to regulators?
No.
Is it considered lobbying?
We don't lobby.
No, not you. Not you. The industry people. I mean, not every industry person that comes here is a lot. It would, or maybe none of them are. Are there any state affairs people here?
Most of the people that you see come to it would be in their own special department, part of their governmental affairs department. One who has to stay on top of legislation, stay on top of policies, and communicate with regulators.
So they're kind of lobbyists or...
No. You won't see the same people here that you would see at the Capitol.
Okay.
But yeah, those would be... They have the title lobbyists. The people that come to ours is governmental affairs, which they have to oversee the legislation and... make sure that...
But they never really call themselves lobbyists, do they? Even the people who go to the Capitol. They usually say state affairs, wouldn't they? Or government affairs, or...
Yeah.
But the ones... Technically speaking, like, they interact with the regulators here.
They do.
Would that ever be considered... I mean, they're the industry, so they probably want...
We don't advocate for lobbying here. And I know many of our state regulators would push that person out because that's not what they're here for, and they would get upset and would push away because...
So they're okay with interacting, but yeah, like if someone's pushing
someone... Here's the thing is, none of our people are elected officials.
Right.
So there's no
reason...
Except
for the governor or the people who are the chair. Right?
Yes.
But they're...
That's the only person that is an elected official, but the meat and potatoes of our people, none of them are elected.
Appointees.
Yes. So. Appointees, yeah, yeah. I guess you could say that on all of them.
So, like, but technically they could try to lobby if they wanted to. The industry, not your
they
organization.
They probably could, but, I mean, you wouldn't get anywhere here, not with our regulators.
Let's see here. So, like, on a day-to-day basis, what's the interaction like between, like, you and your staff at IOGCC and the people who are here? Because this meeting is, like, a special place where everyone is, but...
On a daily basis, I might talk to one or two a day.
What else would you... So, is the other stuff just, like, publications and...
I do publications. I answer calls, deal with states first, deal with governors, deal with their staffs. I find and research the information for grants, find information what all is going on. I have to get make sure that the Federal Register doesn't have anything new on oil and gas. I maintain all the websites, which I have Groundwork. I have Frac Focus. I have IOGCC. I have States First. I have Groundwork Canada. I have Frac Focus Canada.
What's Groundwork?
It gives a link to all the state bodies. It will give you numbers on hydraulic fracturing. It will give you updates on state legislation. I just posted the CO2 pub on Groundwork. It's more of a... where I send a senator's staff to go to find information.
Oh, okay. It's so, like a repository of stuff. Let's see. So I guess, like, broadly speaking, how influential do you think, or have you witnessed IOGCC being, at least in terms of its main mission of states, like you said, states first is one of the initiatives, but like it's not just an initiative, it's also kind of a broad goal of the organization.
Very. I mean, when I get, you know, U.S. senators, U.S. reps, the Obama administration calls us, I feel that we are very influential in getting the information out there, and I feel that we are a credible source when we have so many people calling us for the information or where to go to get it.
But in terms of the mission, so the mission is kind of...
To educate and...
Oh, no, no, not yet, but like one of them is just at its core, like the states should be in charge of...
They still are. So I guess we're still doing our job.
But there, I mean, there's been a lot of talk at the conference about the federal government kind of like
there's
encroaching.
There's always talk. There always will be talk. And because we will always have to push.
So why is the state level better or more ideal than the federal level for oil and gas?
Because they're unique in their geology and geography and their climate. And, I mean, would you rather U.S. EPA Region 6, who is headquartered in Dallas, to have to travel, 400 miles to permit an oil and gas well or to inspect it? Or would you rather the people who live there, work there, know it, take 30 minutes, go look at it?
So what about the local? Because I know also there's state versus local, and that's like a kind of a different...
Okay, a county commissioner will not have experience or knowledge. Most of them will not have the knowledge or experience about oil and gas production and exploration. So would you have a city commissioner or a county commissioner or a mayor who has, you know, been in real estate tell you fracking is bad when they don't know the science? They don't know what's actually going on in and around a drilling site or a fracking site. I mean, I'd rather trust a geologist who has a PhD to say, okay, if I drill this far into the ground, this is what's going to happen. And I'm going to put this much casing and cementing, so nothing's going to happen, and it's going to be safer than any other industry that you will deal with.
So one of them is geographic. That's the state versus the federal government. So the argument is geographically, like the states are closest and they understand. But the other one is just kind of resources-based and knowledge-based. Mm-hmm. Like, so is the local thing new for, like, your organization to have to push back against?
You know, I couldn't answer that. I know that there are more states going through it now that the technology has grown. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think they probably saw it a long time ago as much, if they did, mm-hmm. just because of population growth. If you look at, you know, if you saw Rick Simmer's slide and where most of the wells are being drilled, it's in a very populated area, as well as the Denver area. It's very populated where they're wanting to drill, and they're newer to it. I mean, the horizontal well and the technology has created a huge way for new resources to be extracted, and so they've never gone through it. They don't understand it, and, you know, when your loudest voice is usually an environmental group that has, you know, an Oscar award-winning actor in it, they're going to listen to that over someone who's been in the field for 50 years and has a PhD and could tell you every single thing about it.
You're saying that, like, activists, from yes. an activist point of view or from a environmental... So what's next for IOGCC? Like,
Fighting the good fight, I guess.
What about the? So yesterday was the. I know, like, on the resolutions, it seems like a big thing is the BLM.
We're always fighting BLM. We're always fighting EPA, but we also work together with them. You know, it's a love-hate
relationship. Which one do you do more, fighting or?
We work together more. Yeah.
So
because they understand that, you know, no matter who talks or what is said, we are still going to need that energy. We are still going to need petroleum products. There is hardly anything that you could go through day to day without using some type of oil and gas. And to say that we need to stop it altogether is just not realistic. Could it be a bridge? Yes. So we can develop other things to coincide with it? Yes. But you can't just cut it, your carbons out altogether when we've been using them so long, and everything right now is tooled for that. And it's funny when you see activists, they have a propane tank, and you want to go, propane tank is carbon. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, I don't drive a car, I ride a bus. The bus...
It's not, yeah.
The tires, your shoes, the lacquer on a door. There's, petroleum jelly that you put on. There's hair products, lipstick. There's so many things that no one understands that day to day. You have to use that. I mean, the factory that your shirt was created in. There's so many things, and it's not just the gas that you put in your car. So we understand, and I mean, that's why if you look at so many companies, they're also trying to bridge. They have different development departments trying to find that bridge, trying to get better, and trying to figure out how to use it better because, you know, they live and work in their same environments that everyone else does. They don't want to hurt it. They don't want anything to go wrong for their families or communities. So, as long as we stay and fight the good fight, we're going to be okay.
So what, just one overall question I have is, didn't come up here, but the climate change, right?
Yeah.
It's I don't know, like, what the group consensus is. I'm sure there's some people here who would think it's, I'm not asking you what you think, I'm just premising the question. So some people would think it's man-made, some people don't. But that's, what I'm asking is that a concern, or will it be a concern, or has it come up, like...
It probably came up a long time ago when it was a little bit more of a issue. Right now, the talk of the day is fracking. You know, 10, 12 years ago, it was climate change. But, you know, we've had colder winters, and the argument was the world was getting warmer. And now we're having colder winters. And with natural gas, the emissions are down. We are down more than we ever have been. And, you know, that's one because of the way we produce the oil and gas now and what we're using, and there's less use of it. And
So would you say that the organization is, the organization is concerned with climate change, and you're saying that?
You would have to do it person by person. But most people I talk to said that not what our main concern is right now, because they don't see it as one of the top priorities right now, because they don't think it is as bad as it has been made out to be.
You're saying the state members of IOGCC. Yeah. That's kind of, but there's never been like a poll taken or anything.
It's just I couldn't tell you that because I've only been here 2 or 3 years.
What about the methane issue and
methane emissions? You know, we're working with EPA. I know Colorado has worked with EPA to lessen theirs, but I don't see it as a huge issue for everyone. And it's a naturally occurring for more than, you know, the eastern states. It's naturally occurring more than what the oil and gas produces.
What about western, like Utah?
I don't know that one. I haven't heard as much about what their methane emission is.
And then, I guess... maybe one last question. So, we have, the Obama administration's in office. In terms of IOGCC's point of view, have they been friendly? I mean, I know some people talk about the EPA here and the BLM, and you said that those are Obama's agencies right now. Have they been friendly to oil and gas overall? I don't care that much about the Obama administration. Like, I'm not trying to ask, a super political question, but just... I'm just trying to ask a partisan question. I'm just trying to ask.
Heather Zeichel, who used to be in the Obama administration, used to reach out to us, and we haven't been contacted since. So,
I don't think there's anyone that's filled her position. Has someone filled her position yet?
I couldn't tell you because I haven't. Yeah, I haven't been able to.
So you're saying that, like, so when she was the energy czar,
it seems like he wants to understand it, but I don't think he should take credit for it when he was trying to cut all of this and all that, and we have no funding anymore, and he gives the grants to solar and everything else, all the renewables, and not kind of really think about where we're going.
So would Zeichel, to speak about like the liaison, Zeichel, she would reach out to your organization, or would you guys reach out to her?
No, she reached out to us, especially when it came to Frac Focus.
Okay, so just on logistical questions of how it works, or just...
That, and information, and how they could help with the states.
So what about, this is actually the question that I wanted to ask, that I forgot. So the BLM streamlining stuff that came up yesterday at the... So there's a pilot project that came, that was discussed, and I was familiar with that, the one...
I'm not familiar enough with it since Baza just brought it up.
But is that like a, in general, is that like a, the states kind of agree that BLM permitting for public lands should be...
State authority?
Streamlined.
It's just like what I said, you know, state regulators are there on the ground, ready to go.
And so that goes back to, coming back to Zeigel, she made a push when she was in the White House, or the White House made a push for streamlining. Was that due to her interacting with the organization and, like, the...
I couldn't tell you why that was. I really can't.
I think that's all I have.
Okay. Well, good deal. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me in, and thanks for your time.
Oh, not a problem.
Take care.
You too.